Bay Mobile.
CBA, KZ4 TMA. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing all right. Just finished an hour and a half of tennis clinic, and I'm on my way home.
You mentioned tennis many times, so tell me, where do you play? Where's the club or the center that you use?
I'm at a member of the sports club on Congaree. It's kind of between Tatewood and Roper Mountain.
I know the one you mean. I'm still a little new to Greenville. Or at least I still feel new because with COVID, I've only really been able to get out for like, 7 months of my time here. We moved here right before the whole pandemic. But anyway, I think I know where you mean.
Yeah, well, I can see the back of Haywood Mall if that helps you any. I just turned on to Tatewood where the hospitals are. St. Francis is on one side and Charisma is on the other.
Yeah, I know the spot. Well, hey, I think when we talk, you're usually mobile, and I'm always mobile because my only rig is a mobile rig right now till I get a proper base station. I've got a mobile rig question for you, if you don't mind. You got a minute?
Yeah, fire away.
What do you do to prevent rust or any other kind of buildup at the connection point of your antenna? So, for example, I'm driving in an old Jeep. And I've got a taillight mount, and so my coax goes to the underside of that mount, and of course there's a stud that goes through the hole in the mount, and then my antenna screws into that stud on the top side of the mount. But on the top side of the mount, that means that the bottom portion of the antenna, the metal connecting part, the threaded part, comes in contact with that stud, and so over time it's going to rust or corrode. Is there any kind of, should I paint that? Well, once I've got it well secured, should I paint it? Is there some kind of film or some kind of putty I can put on it? I'm just wondering how to avoid, rust or other corrosion buildup over time.
I guess there's several ways you could do that. If it was mine, I would get some of this stuff. You can get it at Lowe's or Home Depot. I think it's called liquid tape. And it's just black gooey stuff in it, and you paint it on, and just cover it really good, and when it'll dry and harden, and it'll stay put. So and then if you want to, after it dries, you can go back and put another layer on top of that. However you want to do it, and it works really good. Gets in all the cracks and crevices and stuff.
None of that. And if I heard you right, it's called liquid tape, T-A-P-E. Is it easy to remove? Will it peel off if you want to, or is it? Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering. It sounds like it dries into a kind of plasticish or kind of rubbery solid form, but is it easy to peel off if you want to remove the antenna or do any other maintenance on the connection?
And I don't know. I've never tried to take any off. I just put it on. So that's a good question. You might want to look at the bottle and and see what it says about removal. But it works so good. For me, I put it, it's on my Carolina Wyndham, and I've used it in some other applications, in the past, so I just really like it. I'm sure there's other stuff you can use, though.
I will definitely read the label, see if it's removable. If it's not, we may as well just use some concrete or something. all right, but that's good. Liquid tape, I'll look into that.
Antenna tape. It's basically self-amalgamating tape. Harbor Freight has what they call super tape. Basically the same stuff for, a few bucks a roll. And that's what I've been using on my PLT-59 door.
AZ4TMA for ID. All right, thanks very much. Let's see if I heard you right. I think I heard you refer to antenna tape, but then also that Harbor Freight has something called super tape, which is similar. But when you say antenna tape, that makes me realize that maybe that's just a more general term of a product that does exactly what I'm looking for. So are you saying that it's pretty common for folks to tape up the connections rather than using something like this liquid tape or anything else that I was considering?
Liquid electrical tape, just not on antenna connections, so I don't really know how easy it'd be to remove. Generically, the stuff is known as self-amalgamating tape. It basically bonds with itself after a while, and it's not easy to remove, but you can cut it down the connector and then get it peeled back, and the inside will look shiny and new over time.
Amalgamating tape. All right, good. This is all really helpful. Well, I'm going to, any one of those sounds like they do the trick, but now I'm curious, so I'm going to look into all of them. Super tape, self-amalgamating tape, and liquid tape. Why not? Well, thanks very much. I didn't catch your call, but this is KZ4TMA, and I was talking here with KB4CBA. So thanks for chiming in. I appreciate it.
TMA, this is Kilo November 4 Charlie Hotel Yankee. Yeah, sorry about the break-in there. I just figured I'd throw that out there. I'll start using that stuff when I'm wrapping. You wrap from the bottom up, and then that way it's overlapping, kind of like Dutch lap siding, to where when the water comes off, it'll drop off the lower edge and not have to worry about penetrating your coax connection. Anyway, KN4CHY, name here is Keith. I'll be standing by and listening. Y'all go ahead.
CHY, thanks again. And yeah, I understand what you mean about taping upward. I like the analogy about Dutch lap. That makes sense. That way your water is going to drip down over the seams, not sneak through them. Sounds good. Well, listen, I'm actually here at my destination, so I'm going to say 73s, and thanks to both of you. And David, I look forward to the next time I catch you on the air, too. So thanks very much, KZ4TMA, and I'll be clear.
73s, And enjoy the evening. It's really nice out here. I'll tell you later. K73 is KB4CBA.
4CBA, KN4CHY.
Go ahead, KB4CBA.
I thought I'd ride along with you for a little while, because I'm just sitting here on my rock, finished up some grass today. First time, so you know it's on now.
One thing about my grass, I tell you, it's Bermuda sod, and it has well right around the sidewalk and the driveway, the edge of the driveway on both sides is starting to turn green, but the rest of the yard is just as brown as it can be. And the guy beside me has the same kind of grass, so. We're about the last two people in the neighborhood to have to cut grass, start cutting grass, and so I don't know when it's going to turn green, but it's not breaking my heart because once it starts, you know, it doesn't end until the first freeze.
Honestly, a lot of mine was still brown, but I do have quite the crop of wild onions on it.
I was maneuvering a turn and shifting, so a little busy. It's kind of hard turning with your knees and talk on the ham radio at the same time.
Especially if it's more just a gentle curve. I've navigated curves one way or the other with the knees, but yeah, kind of hard to make a turn, that's for sure. I take it you're in a Mustang. It always sounds good when you're on the radio.
It's a 2012, and it's a 5.0 GT, and I really enjoy it. I had the mufflers cut off of it, and so it's just a little bit louder than you know, stock. Just wasn't quite loud enough for me. I went ahead and did that, and my wife's complaining, so that's about how loud I want it.
Sure, sounds like you hit the mark there. Yeah, and I don't know if maybe the newer ones have gotten a little throatier. I hear some come by the house here a lot, and they have that same nice throaty rumble to them, but then again, maybe they've done the same thing you did, and just bumped it up until the wife started complaining over.
You know, of course, she knowing how she hears it is she is, because she never rides with me, and so knowing how she hears it is when I started up cold in the garage, and it has a different, has a unique sound when you first start it up. It idles a little fast, you know, for about 3 to 5 seconds, and by the time I roll out of the garage, it's settled down, and it's kind of sounding like it does the rest of the time. But, you know, she gets to hear that little extra growl there, and when I started up in the garage, when it started up for the first time for that day, and it makes it a little bit louder. So, but anyway, but I enjoy it. I really like, what I like to do is get between a wall or get beside a wall or get between going over a bridge. I roll the window down and just really, rev it up. If I get it up above about 3,500 RPMs, anything above that, and it's really got a sweet sound then.
I bet it does. I hadn't had any really good sounding cars in a long time. But, used to have a old Impala with a big block in it. It had dual exhaust on it. It was the same way. We used to go back and forth between Baton Rouge and Savannah, and they had just got the tunnel built under the Mobile Bay there, and that was always a really nice sound echoing through the tunnel over.
Sounds like in the garage.
Roger, that is that your announcement that you're home, over?
I hear. Done it anyway, then. I mean, it doesn't matter. Give her something to complain about. But, anyway. This is my third Mustang. I had two GTs. I had a 90, and then it was a 5.0. Then I had a 96, and it was a 4.6. They both put out about the same horsepower, and which is around, goes around 225 or so. And this one puts out about 420 horsepower, and I've got a cold air intake to put on, and it says it'll give you 15 more horsepower. Whether I believe that or not, I don't know. But anyway, I need to install that.
I used to like tinkering when I was younger. I'm going to ride to take it to somebody, so I guess that's why I hadn't had a hot car in a long time. So is that 420 stock, or have you worked on it other than the exhaust?
Stock. I was really surprised But it's, you know, it's definitely, I can tell, it's a heck of a lot stronger than the other two I had. And it's a 6-speed manual. And, but it, if you want to get up and go, it'll get you there in a hurry.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize they were pushing out that much in them. But I guess that is the whole GT thing.
I've kind of, lost touch with what they're putting out right now. But I imagine you could probably look that up on Ford.com. But... anyway, I heard guys on the courts I guess it was Saturday. He was saying that the car company that's making the most cars right now is Nissan. And so I don't know why they can get the that semiconductor chip that nobody else seems to be able to get, but. Because Toyota Greer has new cars on their lot. Four.
Yeah. I work in a manufacturing facility, and we've been having a hard time getting material. And when we do get it, of course, material prices are going up, fuel's going up, transportation prices are getting too. Yeah, our material lead times keep going out and out and out farther, so. Yeah, I hadn't looked into it too to see what they're pushing out. I know they can get 300 horsepower out of four cylinders. Doubling the cylinders, you could do a lot of horsepower with
it. There's a show, and I can't even think of the name of it, and I can't think of the network or anything. Right now, we've got Apple TV, and it's got a bunch of different apps on it, and I think it's on a Discovery app or something. But anyway, they show you how to build engines and how to make horsepower, and they actually put the engine itself on a dyno and show you the horsepower and the torque, and they put different carburetors and heads and do different things to it and advance the timing a little bit and just see how much horsepower they can get out of it. It's really interesting. And but I remember reading an article when I worked at Fairway Ford, and that was back in the late 80s, and they had a four-cylinder then that would put out 1,000 horsepower, so, good Lord, that's a lot for a four-banger.
I guess they were probably the first ones that I was aware of anyway that pushing over 300 out of the four-cylinder. Everything else has gotten a lot better, too, even, just straight your plain old V6s and trucks and stuff. They're pushing a lot more. Not pushing near what they could, but enough to get the job done.
There's a lot of cars out there, V6s that are making well over 300 horsepower, 350, 400, and it's just unreal, and the power to weight ratio is lighter than this car, so and that's another thing you have to look at, because you could be sitting beside a car with 300 horsepower, but if he's a lot lighter than you are, he can probably outrun you, because this car is heavier. But I don't really do any street racing because there's too many police officers around here, and it's too crowded too. I mean, just White Hand Boulevard, it's just like rush hour all day long. It's just unreal. I live over here in Taylor's.
KB4CBA, KN4CHY, clear and listen.